Well, good morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. So, as I was reading scriptures this week, I was captured by the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. And I don't know that I've ever spoken or taught, if you would, on this chapter. It is an amazing chapter. It's a pretty long chapter. It has like 42 verses. Let's go through it today. There are several things that are being revealed in this chapter. God is forming his church, and we have, or you can read in the previous chapters, he brought in thousands. You know, sounded like a mega church to me. But let's read and see what we can learn of God and of his people. The chapter opens and it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession." Now, this beginning church had gathered as one and made contributions. Sounds to me like, you know, everything they had, they gave to the church for its provision. So they sold the possession, and they kept back part of that price. His wife also, being privy to it, she knew about it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land, while it's remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. That means he died. And a great fear came on them all that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thine husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out." And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. She died also. And the young man came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her with her husband. And a great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. Wow. Wow. What a story. You know, I think it is a good thing. It is the long suffering of God that he doesn't treat people in mega churches today the way he treated Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. Because there wouldn't be many mega churches today, people lying about their giving. A word to the wise is sufficient. Let's go on. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join him to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth sick unto the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one of them. You know, when God begins this great work of forming his church, he gave great power. But watch what the religious people respond, how they responded to this unquestionable power of God at work. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. How dare God do this? And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand in the temple, speak in the temple to the people all the words of life," speaking of Christ Jesus. And when they heard that they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came and they that were with him and called a council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. When the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Whew. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them. Whereunto this would grow. What if people started telling this story? What about this? Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Who should have been stoned? The council, the chief priests, and they that were with them. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." It's amazing. What happens when God goes to work, both for those who are for him and those who are against him? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Let that one sink in. We ought to hearken to God. Doesn't mean, be a perfect performer for God. It means run to the Sayer. Let God's word enter your ears and dwell in your heart, that faith might remain with you. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Now, he's talking to religious people here, folks. He's not talking as characterized or mischaracterized by so many as the Jews killed Christ. It was the religious people. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. A couple of things I'd have you notice or have you understand out of this verse. Verse 31. He says, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel. He doesn't say to the Jews. Now, the majority of the people that the apostles were teaching were probably Jews. But here, the scripture is specific, to give repentance to Israel. And Israel is a much larger population than the Jews. But it says, for to give repentance. Such a misunderstood word. You know, it's not running down to the altar and crying and say, "God, forgive me my sins. I repent. Please, God." No, this word in the Greek is metanoia. Meta means after or an after, and noia is mind. You know, we have this book. We call it the Bible. It has two parts. It has the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what this verse and others like it are saying, we're in a New Testament era. We're to have a new mind because of the work of God and Jesus Christ, who took upon himself all our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And boy, are we seeing some evil going on. But folks, this is not the tribulation, the great tribulation. This is not the wrath of God on the earth that's taking place in these horrible, almost unspeakable events in Israel today. But it says, for to give repentance. I want you to know, repentance, to have this new mind or after mind, is a gift of God. It does not come from us. It is like grace, like the gift of faith, like the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is something that God is doing for the people which belong to Him. Let's go on. And we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey Him, that hearken unto Him, that run to the sayer, that run to this word which God has reserved and all its thousands of promises on which we can run to, which we can lean on, which we can grab hold and make them ours, because the church is the body of Christ, and the church is in Christ, and Christ is in us. And 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that all the promises of God are in Him, that is, in Jesus. Yea, yes, and in Jesus, amen, no doubt. Let's go on. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They had some understanding of what the position they were taking, what the consequences thereof were. And they were not going to be stopped. Then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. He was the greatest teacher of the word that day, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Put them out of the room. Let's have a private discussion. You've done enough talking in front of these guys. Let's have a little talk in private. And Gamaliel says, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. What ye intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, and who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught," brought to nothing. "After this, rose up Judas of Galilee in these days, in the days of taxing, and drew away much of the people after him, and he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." He's talking about what the apostles are doing. But he goes on and he says, "But if it be of God, you can't overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed. Okay, Okay, that may, okay. Gamaliel, I think you put it right. For the time being, we're gonna let them be. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, they agreed to leave them alone, didn't want to fight against God. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded again that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they, that is the apostles, departed the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. What name? The name of Jesus. Jesus. That, excuse me, Greek name, which is the Greek for the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua, his original name, servant of Moses, his original name was Joshua. It means helper. And God tells Moses, don't call him Joshua any longer. Call him Jehoshua. J, contraction for Jehovah. Put the words together. It means God, our helper. That's the name of Jesus. And they said, don't preach this name, God our helper. After they were beaten, they departed the presence of the council, rejoicing. How? Why? To rejoice. You know, a lot of people are happy, but joy comes with understanding. And Jesus told his disciples that they would suffer. Read that ninth chapter of the book of Acts where Paul is called by Jesus Christ himself. And it says that he, this is the guy who's responsible for 2/3 of the New Testament. He's the one, because the other disciples didn't quite get it all. He's the one who brought understanding of what this life of Jesus given for us truly meant. Because through Paul, God revealed himself. They had understanding, but Jesus said, you'll suffer many things. And they had this understanding. Therefore, after they were beaten, they left rejoicing. There are those Christians today who do suffer beatings for the name of Christ. You know, through my rather long life, I have to tell you, I've suffered many things, but I haven't suffered a beating for teaching this name. Lost a lot of friends for teaching this name. But I'm still rejoicing in the name of Jesus, God our helper, and I hope you are also. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. That's why we have the God School. We teach. Don't do a lot of preaching, but we teach. And it says, and they cease not to teach and to preach. This Greek word is a derivative of evangelion, which is translated gospel or good news. They were teaching and gospelizing Jesus Christ, that the people to whom God has chosen and to whom God had given an ear, has given an ear, not only to those people of that day, but to the people of this day, that they might be taught and be gospelized, to make up a word. To the glory of God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't quite hit 30 minutes today, but I hope the words of this message hit you, and that you might be affected to understand, though we may not see the manifestation of the power of God demonstrated in this chapter, yet we still have his testimony that he is faithful and will do what he said he would do, for God is not a man like Ananias, or a woman like Sapphira, that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. There it means to change his mind. He's not going to change his mind. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, that as he said, so shall he do, and as he has spoken, so shall it be. Stay in grace, the unmerited favor of God, and continue to act with the gift of faith that God has given to each and every one of his sons and daughters. And that's the God School for today.